Welcome to Biz Takeouts, Biz Community's sound bite-sized news to go. Made possible by ACA, Association for Communications and Advertising. I'm your host, Retendo Nyamuda. Coming up on today's show, Thabang Skwambane, Group MD of FCB and Hello Computer, in conversation with Robbie Brosen, co-founder of Nando's.
South Africa and the African continent can offer the world a real view on how to change perspectives in a unique and natural way. We have that ability, and we've done it before as a country, and we've confronted massive issues and challenges, and now is the time for us to do so again.
It's time for Biz Takeouts. The topic of today is liquidity and the economics of advertising. Thabang, in the recent ACA webinar, you actually mentioned the topic of liquidity, which doesn't seem much like the usual term you would get from someone in a creative advertising space. So first of all, can you explain what is meant by liquidity and what does it mean to provide liquidity and why is it important for businesses right now?
Sure. I'm a former banker, so I'm going to avoid giving you the formal answer to that question. Liquidity ultimately is about cash, and we need cash to pay salaries. We need cash to pay suppliers, and of course, this keeps our economy going. And what's been happening in the economy is that the government has got a stimulus package and is trying to provide services. Or stimulus into the economy. What SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19 has done is put us under such immense pressure from an economic point of view, because we've had to lock down the country to prevent the transmission of the disease. What has happened then is it meant that a lot of people would struggle then to pay for services and again also put pressure on their businesses, you know, to pay their staff. And what the government is also doing is reducing interest rates, which obviously improves the people's abilities to repay debt, which releases some of that cash that they might have in their pockets on a monthly basis. So effectively, liquidity is about cash and cash flow and your ability to pay. And it's such an important aspect of business that it's the lifeblood of business, really.
Thank you so much for that. And Robbie, coming to you, Nando's is a business that is not only known for its delicious chicken, but also its outstanding and distinctive campaigns. What, in your opinion, do you think can be done to ensure that businesses keep their doors open and the customers coming through, especially those businesses who have been deeply affected by the lockdown regulations? And also as we come up to, you know, the easing of certain regulations from July.
Thanks. I think that obviously liquidity, as T mentioned earlier, is essential, that you have to have had very strong relationships with your banks. I think that coming into this, very few companies had a stash of cash that was available just to, readily available, certainly smaller companies and it came so unexpectedly as well. So it's about deep relationships with your banks, understanding your covenants that you've got, understanding you're probably going to break your covenants. And therefore that relationship is a critical part of anything. And I think that, you know, how you then sustain it. And once you've had that relationship and you're lucky enough to actually have, you know, the facilities that you can dig into. Mm-hmm. We were lucky enough to have that, and our kind of first priority was looking after our own people. That was critical. Nando's is an inside-out brand. We truly believe that. But I think once you've got that liquidity and once you've sorted out the kind of cash flow issues, which was like the first breath that we took. It was like, wow, what happened here? And we worked that out. You've then got to really dig deep and work as a team. And, you know, leadership is so critical. We as shareholders, you know, we've got really great leadership. And as shareholders, we stepped aside and let the leaders lead. And that's where corporate culture comes in. That's where purpose comes in. If you've got a company with great purpose, if you've got a company with great leadership, and you're very focused and streamlined, but you have to be creative. This is the time. For me, this was like the moment I thought that the crazy should start ruling the world. You know, it was really time for for the real creative to come out. And we've seen some incredible campaigns from people, because that's what's going to keep the doors open. So having that liquidity, as Dee mentioned, essential. Without having a little sense of liquidity, you really are stymied. But then using that liquidity very wisely through being super creative, it's a great time for creators.
Definitely. And as you mentioned, like there is this emphasis on doing things differently as well. And there's certainly a big emphasis on people thinking about solidarity, sustainability, purpose, as you've mentioned. And some sectors might even have to adapt and bring on new methodologies and processes themselves. For both of you, and I guess we'll just start with Robbie, where do you think is the best place to kind of start for companies when it comes to these aspects?
I think it's broken up into a couple of things, but I think first is purpose, is really understanding your purpose, your company's purpose, and understanding that it's going to be a much different world, which is going to be a very strong, meaningful, much more meaningful world. I think it's going to be a gentler world, hopefully a lot gentler, and a lot more, there's going to be a lot more social kind of a business for social good, which I think is really essential. So I think that's going to happen. And so the company's really got to dig into their DNA and their soul of the brand and understand that. But then technology as a second thing has to play a big part. Just facilitating in our industry, for example, technology has to be, we have to embrace it properly and really understand it deeply. And I think those are going to be the two, for me, the two big game changers.
Very interesting. And for you, Thabang, what are your thoughts on this?
Robbie talks about relationships and trust, and I just wanted to continue with that, because you know, when you've got a great relationship and you trust your partners, and now more than ever we have to trust each other, especially at a really difficult time on the planet. I think there's so many different issues going on, but more importantly right now, when you trust each other, you're transparent, you share a lot more of what you are about as a business, and what you're going through and what's happening for you. An example is just, you know, a conversation with a client, saying to them, you know, guys, we're all under pressure here. What can we do together? Don't let's, you know, cancel contracts or do things like that. And the response was really positive and affirming. And now we've built up a relationship that's even stronger than it was before. Mm-hmm. And certainly that transparency and that trust has led to even better work. And I think in our industry, the creative services industry, the kind of relationships that Robbie talks about and we've over the years have, you know, seen the kind of work that's come out of Nando's is because of that level of trust that they have in their relationships with their partners, their creative partners in particular, their agency and et cetera. And they have a wonderful team, and Robbie spoke about leadership. I think at this very moment in time, what you have to do is you have to try different things to see what might work. If you're not willing to test new channels, if you're not willing to test new formats or go in new directions or engage in different ways of working, you really aren't trying to use this particular moment in history as an opportunity to change the way that you can be reflected on in the future.
You speak about or you've mentioned the word leadership, and I think even for a number of companies, the way that you approach certain aspects and even with lockdown and a number of things that are even happening in the global space as well. Mm. What kind of leaders are we looking for? What are the important qualities that a leader should be having or should want to enhance within themselves during this time?
If I could answer that, you know, right now, what we really, really need in this world are leaders who are not just, you know, display a certain type of trait, a leadership trait, because you can have that command style leadership and dictate what goes on. I think the most important aspect we need now is an adaptive leadership quality. There's no person alive today that has experienced in what is going on right now. They don't know how this global pandemic will play out. They don't know what the results is going to be, and there's nothing that you could do that the management textbooks could teach you as to how to manage the situation. Mm-hmm. We can only use our best guess. And then we'll deal with the results of that and we'll adapt. And then we'll continue to do that over and over again until we get through this. And we will get through this. Somewhere or another, we're going to get through this. And, mm-hmm. and with all the other issues going on, it is also about people who are adaptive that are able to reflect on their role in society. So talk about Black Lives Matter, for example. Right now, it's the kind of leader that is self-reflective, that is able to then adapt. To be able to say, how have I played a role in manifesting discrimination or bigotry in the world? And it's that kind of leader that will rise up to the top in our new society, in the new way of working, and our new experience of the world as it is at the moment.
Mm, very, very important. Thank you so much for that. I completely agree with you as well in terms of the adaptability of a leader. Robbie, do you feel the same way when it comes to leadership and the adaptability?
The only thing I'd like to add, I completely agree with what T said there. The only thing I'd like to add is you've got to be optimistic. Mm-hmm. I think that we've got to
have
like a positive optimism that, you know, as Thabang mentioned, you know, we don't know what's going on. Nobody really knows what's happening. But we do know we're going to get through this, and we do know we're going to get through this better. And we do know we're going to get through this optimistically and positively. And you know, that to me is a critical. It's not just bullshit optimism. It's true optimism. Understanding that you know, in leading through this time, you can never waste a good crisis. So you've always got to be doing certain things that strengthen the business over this time, but doing it in a very optimistic, positive way.
Hmm. You know, Ritendo, I just want to reflect on a thing. Robbie and I were having we decided we were going to have a social distance drink of a. of a video call, so we poured ourselves a whiskey, and I asked him how things were going and how he felt about what was happening. And this is right near the beginning of the lockdown, level 5. And Robbie was so optimistic that if it wasn't at that point in time, I was semi-optimistic, but I was also I was anxious, I was worried, I was concerned. But it was that level of optimism, and I have to just say, upfront and to everyone, when you feel that infectious optimism, which isn't bullshit, like Robbie said, it really does take your people forward. And what it did for me at that point, just to share with everyone, what it did for me is it gave me the level of optimism to go back into the business, my business, and with my people. And I've also got a phenomenal leadership team. And to share with them that this sort of optimism is our opportunity to really rise up above the ashes of whatever goes on, and to become one of the great organizations in our creative services industry in the world, not just in South Africa. So couldn't agree with Robbie more there. And thank you for that, by the way. I needed both the whiskey and the optimism.
I fed on you, let me tell you. As I always do. I've still got your role, your own. You know, you gave that to me.
There you go. Well, you know, you can't do that anymore.
and Thabang, kind of staying on you and coming back to kind of the liquidity side of things, the creative services industry is not like your other, you know, banking sectors or legal sectors. And, you know, the creative services have been affected perhaps in a different way. So when it comes to marketing and communication and the communications industry, how have you been affected? How is the industry reacting to the current situation? And also, how are your clients reacting as well?
So, I mean, I think this is a really critical point. Let's start with the clients. I think firstly, from a client point of view, their initial reaction was very much to have to see it from a rather pessimistic point of view. They were looking at, you know, we were a cost, and they needed a cut cost, they needed a save on certain things. And what we ended up working on as relationships go, ourselves with our own suppliers, because, you know, we don't just produce things. There's production companies that produce our film. There's sound studios that make radio. There's a whole bunch of print for out of home and et cetera. and of course, and then a multitude of others in the digital space, from front and back end development, etc. And so all of this vertical supply chain that had to get together and start having conversations. And as Robbie said before, building up that trust and that relationship. So the first thing that happened was everyone realized we have to do more for less. And whilst this has been the case in our industry for years, it's always been a procurement-led more for less, which is now different. What I mean by that is when procurements are trying to cut costs, they're really just trying to get an extra 10% out of you to squeeze you to death. And they're just doing their jobs, I get it. But when you actually sit down and you go, guys, we have to win in the market, we have to win with the communication, we have to connect with the consumer, and we have to give people a sense of belief in what we offer as a brand and in what we do as a business inside of our society, that's when you start making magic. And I think that's what's been exciting about our this situation. It's put us in an incredibly difficult situation. And through that difficulty, we've come out with a very highly creative output that is, I think, more magical, because suddenly we're telling truths, we're speaking honestly with each other, and we're connecting with the consumer because we know we're talking to them in their homes, in isolation, not necessarily completely, but certainly in a version of isolation that feels very different. So you really have to connect with people and make magic. And that's what creativity eventually does, is it makes magic for brands.
And speaking on kind of, I guess, the economics of advertising itself, how does that all work? And are you surviving, would you say you're surviving the effects of the global pandemic?
We will survive, and actually we will eventually thrive. But advertising, and excuse the language, is that it's a cuck business. Very few people would want to invest in advertising because our margins are tight. We have to run an extremely tight ship in order to actually make money. It's not like the old days, like the Mad Men series and et cetera. But certainly what we've got is, and the reason why we're in the industry is because of the, one, because of the people, two, because it's a wonderful joy. It's a joyous experience to actually sit in a room with creatives and experience this thing that comes out of their brains, and to be a part of that it's inspiring, and that's what gives me the optimism. I think with the kind of people that are the crazies, as Robbie put it, and Apple would have told you from years back in their ad, it's the crazies, and that's what I love, from being a banker, you know, to being in this industry. Working with the crazies of creative is a true joy, and I think that's what's going to really take this country forward. I think that once you see the crazies come out, you'll be joyed, you'll be buoyed, and you'll actually come out thinking this country is going to come out on top.
I really like that, the crazies. I'm going to relabel creatives the crazies. And Robbie, for you, as a business owner, how do you approach your relationship with agencies or with agency, and how do you get the best work from them? How have you continuously gotten the best work from them over the years, actually?
Well, so as the business owner, we've got our best work by having the best marketing directors. And a guy like Doug Place, who's our marketing director, is exceptional. I love him. I mean, he is just so good. And through Doug, he creates the relationship with the agencies. I think we've got a really good relationship with MNC Saatchi. Mike Abel is a great guy, but Doug is the guy together that create the magic. And Doug understands our vision. He understands the culture. He understands the purpose. And through that, having a tight brief, you know, and again, it's about trust and it's about relationship. It's about, you know, we're all swerving at the moment, and it's just a question of understanding that swerve, that we swerve together, because we're not, you know, no one is immune to what's going on. You know, the kind of crazy thing that I felt was that we've all got fear in our eyes at the moment. You know, when you're the only one that created your own crisis, or you in your own personal crisis, you've got fear in your eyes and everyone around you hasn't. This crisis, we've all got fear, and it's a question of how we all manage that fear together, which is actually a very special place to be. But the core thing for me is just having the right, you know, Nando's has survived through having some of the best marketing directors and some of the best agencies, and you know, coming in at different intersections and being inspired by you know, I've been inspired by FCB and, you know, with Thabang, and me personally, Thabang and his team have been incredible. Brett for me is one of the leaders in the agency world as well. And, you know, we as a South African kind of, creative nation, that's what we've got is, if you have to actually say to me, are we the best manufacturers in the world? We're never going to be the best manufacturers in the world. Are we going to be the best? You know, I don't know. But what we've got is the best creatives. And for me, you just got to look at the diaspora of the creatives around the world and see how many South Africans are in different agencies around the world. And you got to understand that one of our best kind of exports is our creative people. And for me, it's a very exciting moment to be in South Africa and to be South African at the moment. I mean, Thabang mentioned a little bit about Black Lives Matter and you know, the place to be dealing with that for me is South Africa.
You're right.
Because it's time, again, we got the crazies, but it's time for us, for the dreamers to wake the nation. Because it really is a time we've got to shake government at the moment. And the crazies and the dreamers have got to shake government. Because it's through them, through some of the changes that they've got to make is where we can really start thriving, creating jobs. We've got to stop, I don't know, there's a lot of bullshit going on that we've just got to actually get through. And the creatives are the ones that for me, and especially South African creatives, because we can change the world. From here, we can change the world. And that's the exciting part. And so having that relationship with your agency, but also having a relationship with other creatives. I mean, for me, it's such an important part of being, of the Nando's journey, is that we've used, you know, so many good creatives at different times and different parts, and it's been such a privilege, actually.
Sure. I think that was just certainly, even as a creative myself, so inspiring to hear that this is, you know, the time and the season for the creatives, for the dreamers to come up and do something different. The old ways of doing things, or the former ways of doing things, corporate style, is gone now, you know.
Gone. And you've got to, the solutions are going to come from places where we never thought. You know, there's going to be, you can't be thinking of the same thing and expecting a different outcome. It's not going to happen. You know, we've got to, content is king. And content doesn't necessarily have to be that expensive. It can be really, you know, it's just good thinking, good creative, you know, on a strategy, but at a different level sometimes. And that's the exciting part. And that's why we've got people like, you know, Thabang gives me such inspiration for the future of South Africa. There's no place I'd rather be than right here, right now. You know, it really is an exciting place. It's crazy.
And
we're shitting ourselves, but we're shitting ourselves together.
We prefer to swerve together rather than sit together there, Robbie.
We're on the edge. We always feel like we're looking at the edge. But that's part of like the energy of what, you know, where would you rather be, in a place like this or in a place where you just feel like you can't make any difference? You know, you just can't make a difference. Yeah, we can.
That's so true. And Thabang, for you, I guess any wrap or final thoughts or questions, not really questions, but any final thoughts or anything you'd like to say as we end today's segment?
Absolutely. I think that the most important thing that Robbie talked about and what we've been alluding to really is this incredible creative talent that we have in the country, and often creativity is seen as something that is artistic. You know, it's either got to be language or got to be music or got to be something that you draw or paint or something. But the creativity is actually about alternative solutions that don't necessarily come from the place that you expected it to come from. It's the unexpected. It's the thing that you didn't see before, that or couldn't see it from that same angle. And I think that's how you would sort a problem like the systemic racism out, for example. And I think that's where this country has got the best opportunity. South Africa and the African continent can offer the world a real view on how to change perspectives in a unique and natural way. We have that ability, and we've done it before as a country. And we've confronted massive issues and challenges, and now is the time for us to do so again. So from a personal perspective, I think that if I can appeal to the members of both the marketing fraternity on the business side, if I can appeal to the members of the creative industry, services industry, let's not give up hope. Let's stay focused. Let's also try and really look inside ourselves as Robbie put it, the fear that we all need to confront in ourselves, both with the pandemic as well as with our role in society. And let's really step up as a group of people together to fix the problems that we created ourselves. We really did create these problems ourselves, and now we can get ourselves out of them. We didn't necessarily ask for a global pandemic, but it's here. And now we just need to find the solutions.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. And Robbie, any final thoughts before we wrap today's session?
I've got two thoughts. One is taking T's words on relationship and trust, I think is critical. This is the time really to understand your kind of people around you, the special people around you, and build on those relationships. It is a time to build on relationships, but coming into this pandemic, you had to have your relationships pretty much firmly in place. How you treat people over this time is also going to define you, how you're going to be perceived later. But I think the one thing that I would urge all creatives to do and everybody is to read the preamble to our constitution. Because when you read that preamble and you understand what we as a nation have gone through and how that constitution was negotiated and how it was collectively negotiated by so many people. And actually it's not a big document. It's a one pager. It's a proper kind of my document, one pager, but it's given me such comfort to understand, you know, what our potential is and what the responsibility we have to next generations to take that flame and pass it on. So, you know, reading the preamble for me is like essential reading over this time. It's comforting, it's therapeutic, but it also understands the past and it also is a very good guideline to the future. And I think if you add that all together and then from that, the, you know, unleashing the crazies and the dreamers, we're going to come out of this in a very, very good way, I think. I mean, it's a special time and a special place, and it's not easy, but it's, you know, it is what it is. You've got to deal with it.
Can I help you there with it? Because it's literally one of my favorites. It starts with we the people. It talks about the injustices of the past.
Yeah.
It talks about justice and freedom. I forget how it's worded at that point, but it asks for respect for those who've worked and live and build on it. And then finally, it talks about a belief that this country, South Africa, belongs to everybody. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it belongs to everybody, but it unites us in our diversity. And I think at this very moment in time, Robbie, this is the most powerful document and the most powerful statement that anyone can make. And thank you for that. Thank you for reminding me. It's one of my favorites.
No, sure. And it says, you know, it also says to build a united and democratic South Africa able to take its rightful place as a sovereign state in the family of nations. So it gets us back into the world, which is such an important thing. We've got to have the vision that we are world class. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the creatives are world class.
And that's a wrap on today's show. Biz Takeouts. Take it where you like it, when you like it, how you like it.